You're listening to KHAM Radio Without the Rules. That was Lindsay Battle covering Fats Waller for a new jazz project, which will be coming out soon. That was I Wish I Were Twins. And right as I start playing that song, Congressman Huffman walks in here. And you just said that you quite enjoyed that one.
That was a great song.
Yeah, it was pretty nice. So it's really fabulous to have you in here today. And one thing, people have been sending in a couple questions, perhaps. Okay. And one thing that's on a lot of people's minds is the McKinley statue this morning.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Let's talk about that.
Okay. Did you see one time Arcata Mayer and now... he's on the city council, Paul Patino, on Fox News.
I did see that clip on Tucker Carlson.
Mm-hmm.
Right. I thought he held his own. You know, it's a tough show to go on. Tucker is combative and provocative. So kudos to...
Or Bill O'Reilly asked me and be like, no.
These are tough forums. But look, I think at the end of the day, this is a decision and a conversation that is about the community of Arcata. It's not about Tucker Carlson sitting in Washington, D.C. or, you know, Breitbart or any of these other things where they want to try to nationalize it and jam it into some narrative about Confederate statues and other things. Why would any community not... be able to have its own assessment about the types of public monuments that it wants to have and the types of values it wants to see reflected. I think that's very normal.
Yeah, it is pretty normal. And there we go. It was also, I found out that in the article in the LA Times, that this would be the first time a statue is taken down because of a lot of the things that somebody has done, I guess.
Yeah, and look, I would never presume to say what ought to happen with that statue, because I am not an Arcata resident. But I will go to bat for the people of Arcata revisiting this issue. Why should someone 100 years ago decide for all time how this public space is going to be used and who's going to be honored with a statue? You know, each generation ought to have its say in this issue, informed by our evolving values and information and history that's come to light. So I think this is healthy.
Also, Diane in Arcata wanted to ask how California... specifically the North Coast, will respond to new offshore oil efforts to drill.
We're going to go ballistic about it. We're not going to let it happen. This has come through loud and clear. The people of my district, and I've got about a third of the California coast, I think the people throughout this state overwhelmingly do not want new drilling off our coast. And it's both to protect our coast because it's important to our quality of life and our economy, but it's also because we think we've got enough fossil fuel. And if anything, we need to be dramatically phasing out of fossil fuel. We need to be leaving those reserves in the ground so that we don't wreck the planet.
Oh, yeah. And how do you feel about the offshore wind mill?
Yeah, I think that's a very different proposition. I'm cautiously excited about the possibilities for offshore wind. You've never seen a catastrophic wind spill, so you know it is compatible with our coastal economy, our coastal environment. I think we need to do some piloting and we need to sort of see some of this technology in practice. But I think there are great possibilities for offshore wind.
Yes, I know that the Robo Coast Energy Authority is trying to do that right here now in Humboldt, and they're taking steps moving towards that. Also, articles of impeachment,
Yes.
Just talk a little bit about that and that process.
Right. Well, I never thought as a member of Congress that I would be, signing on to the impeachment of a president, let alone just a year and a half into an administration as we are right now. But look, I think these are extraordinary times. And some of the things that we've seen from this administration, not just the personal, political, and financial ties to Russia that, we still need to know more about, but we already know enough to say that it stinks, but the ethical lapses, the abuses of power, the obstruction of justice, this is a wrecking ball at our democracy, in my opinion. And so I don't do it lightly, but I think we sort of, as a member of Congress, I have to step in and fulfill my obligation under the Constitution to hold an out-of-control executive in check. Impeachment is one of the most important ways to do that. You don't do it lightly, but you certainly can't look the other way at some of these abuses. And so I did sign on as a co-sponsor of Articles of Impeachment.
Mm-hmm. What is the next step?
Well, the next step is it goes nowhere unless you have 218 votes in the House.
And so far it doesn't have that.
And we are not there. So, you know, I need to always manage expectations about this. We're not close to actually impeaching the president. But, you know, the history tells us, if you look at Watergate, which is probably the closest analog to where we are now, it was similarly not close to impeachment right up until a massive tipping point where tapes were discovered and it became impossible for Republican members of Congress to stay with President Nixon. They had to break with him. I think we're very close to a tipping point like that with President Trump.
Okay. Time will tell.
Time will tell.
Also, one more question. One listener wanted to know, his name is Paul, what is your position on universal health care? We all know that you're very pro-universal health care, but what kind of steps have you taken or are you thinking about taking or maybe not taking for trying to expand Medicare?
Yeah, great question. So I think one of the most practical steps we can take is allow early buy-in to Medicare. And I'm co-sponsoring a bill to do that for people age 55 and over. This is a demographic that really is hard for the private health insurance industry to serve because it, you know, it's not quite as medically needy as the Medicare population, but it's an expensive risk pool. So bringing them into the Medicare risk pool actually brings slightly younger and slightly healthier people into that risk pool. That's a good thing. But it also provides a solution to them that right now the private sector is not doing a very good job at. These are the folks that private insurance plans want to dump with pre-existing conditions and other things because they're just expensive to insure. So we need to give them some options. Early buy-in to Medicare would be a great one. It's efficient. Everybody I know that has Medicare likes it. Why not make it available to people on a voluntary basis to buy, just like they would a private insurance product? That's a significant step in the direction of Medicare for all.
Are you taking steps for that?
Yeah. I've introduced, co-sponsored a bill to actually do that.
Oh, that's incredible. Mm-hmm. It'll be really neat. Well, we all know that James Taylor is one of your favorite artists, and you have to get going to San Francisco, so I have to let you go. But you want to go ahead and play something off of James Taylor's first album.
Would you please? Yeah. I think you're going to do Something Wrong. Something's Wrong, That Restless Feeling. It's a lovely song that I'll be humming for the rest of the day.
Sounds fabulous. Awesome. You're listening to Cahill, Radio Without the Rules.